We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Bite, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into the Bus Insider this week. We're getting towards the spring, which kind of changes the athletic landscape, if you will. New Welk of CUBus.com, my voice of the bus, Mark Johnson. See, basketball's done as of today as this is coming out. Football's wrapping up spring ball. Did see the showcase last week. Now, what was your takeaway from the showcase last week for Mike McIntyre?
You know, I think if you're looking to have something to take away from the spring, it's the advance of the young players and the newcomers. I thought they made great strides all through spring. Definitely saw it in the spring showcase, although a very vanilla showcase. It was funny. A lot of the plays that you and I have seen in practices for some reason weren't called on that Saturday. But certainly if you look at the young wide receivers that have come up, the guys on the defensive line, the JUCOs that have come in and played, Davion Taylor, Mustafa Johnson, then young receivers, LaVisca Chenault, KD Nixon, Juwan Winfrey, who's not a newcomer but has played very well. And so I think there's been a lot of progress there, a lot of progress in the secondary, which I think they're really excited about, especially at the corner position where, you know, they're losing a guy that's going to go to the NFL, and they had some younger guys there. So I think overall, if there's one takeaway for me, it's the improvement of the young players and the newcomers, and there's a lot of competition out there.
You know, you talk about the young wide receivers or the new group of wide receivers, let's put it that way. You'd be hard-pressed to think that when you look at the guys that have moved on now, graduated, potentially heading to the NFL, statistically go down the top 10 and most of them and probably most receiving categories, that what would be coming behind them might be better. Maybe better is not the right word. Maybe explosive is the right word. As you look at that group, LaVisca, Juwan Winfrey you talk about, KD Nixon, Tony Brown, who we didn't mention, the transfer kid. That's an explosive group of players the Buffs have there.
It is, and it's a really hungry group because none of them have big numbers. None of them are resting on their laurels. None of them have anything to show. You know, Juwan Winfrey wants to go on to the NFL, so this is his last year to prove that he deserves that shot. LaVisca Chenault is a guy that, you know, if he continues to improve like I think he's going to improve, I don't think he's going to be a four-year guy here. I think he could be a guy that leaves a little early because I think he has the chance to be that good. But they're all hungry, and they all want to prove what they've got. And so I think that's why this spring has been as competitive as I've seen in a spring, you know, camp around here for a few years. And explosive is exactly the right term because they make plays after they catch the ball.
Do you think a guy like LaVisca Chenault, as big and physical as he is, he can really kind of be a hybrid guy, almost like an H-type out there, where you can split him out wide. You can put him in a slot. He can play in a front, you know, out of the backfield a little bit, maybe line up as a tight end. I mean, he really is a versatile guy, isn't he?
He can do a lot of everything, and he's such a powerful guy. He lifts weights with the offensive linemen, you know, and that's just the type of body that he has. He's such a physical kid. He's fast. He's strong, and he's just beginning to figure out how good he can be. And I think you see it every day in practice. Wednesday he had a great catch and run after it in the scrimmage. On Saturday you saw, you know, what he can do after he catches the ball, and so. He's a guy that, yeah, I think you're going to see them use him in a lot of different ways.
Is the area maybe that we have the most questions about this, and on Wednesday after practice, you and I are both chatting a little bit with Clayton Adams, but maybe that offensive line because of the unknown about the guys that are in there? They're certainly, I think, more athletic than they were maybe a year ago. But is that maybe the biggest question mark moving forward?
Yeah, I think that is. And they've been dinged up and had a few injuries here and there. There's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of promise. When you talk about young guys, we got to see Jake Moretti finally take some snaps. It's the first time Jake Moretti last week was the first time Jake has actually put on pads and a helmet and hit somebody in 19 months. And so that's been a very promising sign for Jake. You've got young guys, Colby Purcell, Will Sherman, Chance Lytle, a lot of young guys on that line that are – Dylan Middlemiss, who hasn't played a lot, is finally getting his chance. So there's a lot of young guys. They've got some guys coming in next summer. Frank Phillip, who's going to come in, and they think he could play right away. Kanan Ray, who's in camp right now but is hurt, he's going to be able to play next summer. So I think there's a lot of potential there, but their development between now and fall camp and then obviously through fall camp will go a long way in determining how good that offensive line is.
You mentioned Davion Taylor just a little while ago. Comes in here as the number one running back, or rather, I beg your pardon, linebacker from the junior college ranks a year ago. A phenomenal athlete. Did he pop when you watched him during camp?
Yeah, I think he did, especially over about the last 10 days. I think you saw him. He finally got comfortable with the defense and the calls that they were making, and he was able to make plays rather than thinking about where he was supposed to be. If you talk to the other defensive players, you know, they're very impressed with what he can do and what his potential is going to be. I think you're going to see him be a guy that'll step into that role. He's going to have some stats this year like Evan Worthington had last year. He's going to have a few sacks. He's going to have third down tackles. He's going to have tackles behind the line of scrimmage. Wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't have a couple interceptions. And so, you know, there's another guy that I think is going to have a nice chance of being a very good player for him.
You know, during our spring showcase broadcast last week, Gary Barnett made a comment that I thought was interesting. And I think you and I have probably heard this over the years when we deal with football coaches. Coaches believe that during the offseason, the offenses have a chance to improve. Defenses generally don't. The offenses can go out there and do their 7-on-7 stuff, work on their timing. But defenses, when they finish up with spring ball, that's about where they're going to pick up when fall camp rolls around. With that being said, did we see enough improvement defensively, do you think?
Well, I think we definitely saw some improvement. I still think fall camp is going to be ultra important to that group. I think it's going to be especially on that defensive line. I think as this defensive line progressed through spring ball, I think you saw Mustafa Johnson, make some strides. I think you saw Terrence Lang just beginning to show the flashes of what he can do, and I think they expect him to be – he could be a dominant defensive end in the Pac-12. He is that kind of player. I think you saw Javier Edwards make some improvement. Chris Malumba certainly played better as camp went on, was the most improved defensive lineman in camp and spring ball. So that's a group that overall – and you're right, how do you improve with your scheme and defense in the offseason? You can't work throwing the ball like the quarterback and the running backs and the receivers can do. But that fall camp is going to be ultra important for them.
I wasn't here back in the day you were. I'm going to ask you about Terrence Lang. When I see him, and I'm not making the comparison, so please don't think I make. Does he look physically in terms of the body type like a young Alfred Williams?
You're not the first one that has said that, and he does. He has that type of body where he can add another 20 pounds. He's got a lean enough frame right now that he'll be able to add 20 pounds to it and still be as fast and more powerful and stronger than he is right now and keep that speed. So he does have – is he going to be a Butkus Award winner? Is he going to be, you know, an All-American? I'm not saying that. But he has, you're right, Mark, he has that body, he has that potential to be that kind of impact player, which you don't see that often on the defensive line. he's a guy that could be a disruptor.
Well, the Buffaloes have their last practice today, practice/scrimmage. They'll wrap things up, and then, of course, all the players take off for spring break before they get back for their conditioning in the month of April. Switching gears, basketball wrapped up, certainly not the season the Buffs wanted. 17-win campaign, got knocked out in the quarterfinals of the Pac-12 Conference Tournament. No postseason. And by the way, a real quick aside here, how about the Pac-12 and the NCAA Tournament? Not something to be proud of. When you go back to the bowl games in football and what happened in basketball, it was not a good postseason for the Pac-12.
No, this is not the year that Larry Scott's going to write down in his diary and saying, "Dear diary, this was a fun year." I'll just leave it at that.
1-8 in bowl games, 0-3. Now, the Pac-12 is doing okay in the NIT, but not quite what the league is looking for when you call yourself the League of Champions. Basketball, though, George King is going to get an opportunity. He's heading out to Portsmouth to work out for NBA teams.
Yeah, and I think that's a really important thing for George. I think if you remember last year, Derek White came on at the end of the year, had a really nice finish to the year, played well in the conference tournament. People were starting to notice him, but where Derek really made that jump and where he really caught people's eye was at Portsmouth. He went out there and had three or four really good games, played well against some top-level competition, and I think this is where George King has a chance to go out and do the same thing, show people what he's got, the versatility that he has, and so I know he's been working really hard, going through a lot of workouts and getting ready for that.
I don't think there's any doubt George will be a professional. It's going to take some work to get to the NBA, obviously, but he certainly has the physical talent to do that, and we wish him the best. Hey, lastly, before we wrap up with you, we're talking with Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com. This lacrosse team is making some noise. This time of year, like I said, things get a bit quiet with football and basketball, but right now what Ann Elliott and that lacrosse team are doing is really, I think, opening some eyes.
Yeah, it is. I mean, they went to the NCAA tournament last year in the fourth year of the program, and that in itself is a great accomplishment, but I think this year's team's a little bit better. They lost a overtime game to USC, which is a top 15 team. CU is ranked in 15th in the nation right now. They're playing really well. And just a reminder for folks, if you want to see them play, the Pac-12 tournament, first Pac-12 tournament, women's lacrosse tournament in history, will be here in Boulder at the end of April. So, stop up and see. It'll be worth seeing.
That is Neil Welk of CUBuffs.com, and here's my recommendation. Every day, go to CUBuffs.com, check out what Neil is writing about Colorado athletics. Always outstanding, insightful, informative. He'll keep you up to date on what's going on with the Colorado Buffaloes. We segue now from Neil talking football and basketball to little bit of track. Joining us, assistant coach Lindsay Malone from the CU track team, coming off a great event last week. The outdoor season finally got underway, the Jerry Quiller Classic, and that was quite a weekend for the Buffaloes.
It was absolutely magnificent. Great weather, wonderful spectators, and 20 lifetime PRs.
Okay, here comes your silly question. Nice weather. I'm assuming that helps.
Oh, it does. Yes? Absolutely.
See? Maybe it wasn't a silly question.
Especially for the first outdoor meet. You never know in Colorado what you can get. We had snow yesterday, and we had 60 degrees and sunshine on Saturday. So it really aided in wonderful performances.
You just said off the top there, 20 PRs in the first meet of the year. That's a huge number, isn't it?
It is. It's almost mind-blowing. But it is a continuation from the indoor season. Mm-hmm. There we had 43 lifetime PRs within the group, and they've just come out, hit the ground running, I have to say.
That kind of sets the bar kind of high to kick things off, though.
It does. I anticipate there's going to be many more. We're working very, very hard and very diligently. This is a great group of kids. They've done an amazing job technically at practice. They've done everything right. Everything that they could possibly be doing right, we're doing right. And right now, it's a well-oiled machine.
It's got to be good coaching.
Oh, yeah. I've got great kids.
There you go. Well, let's touch on some of the highlights. We've had a couple of your track athletes on the TV show this year. Andrew Gazzone, who was on with us a while ago, he really had a nice weekend.
He did. Thank you. Yes. Conference champion indoor. That was absolutely magnificent. And he's come out like he's going for the top again, outdoor season. He had four lifetime PRs, including one in discus, where he PR'd by 12 feet in dead air. And that's pretty spectacular. If we get a good wind, that means that there's a potential for many more points for potentially decathlon later on.
How about Rajon Aquin, who was on the show, by the way, is about ready to take my job. She's so good on the microphone, but she had a great weekend.
She is magnificent, yes. She was attempting the height. She nearly missed it. The qualifying height in the women's high jump for the first round at NCAAs, came back, won the 200 for us, and her second fastest time ever.
Wow.
So 9 weeks left of the season, and in regular season, she is unstoppable.
That's kind of a unique combination, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Absolutely, yes. We're looking to score as many points for the team as we can, and she's developed into a magnificent sprinter along with a tremendous high jumper. So basically, we get, you know, twice of the effect for the team points that we can get for outdoor season.
Who else kind of stood out over the weekend?
Maya Wickard-Donzo did a tremendous job in the hurdle. She won the hurdle race. Gianna Mustin and Michaela Wenning had they took 0.3 seconds off their 100 hurdle time, which is almost a half a second in your first meet. This is just unbelievable.
Wow.
We have a bunch of freshmen that stepped it up. Gunnar Rigsby is fourth in the nation right now in triple jump. So a great way to start the season as well.
Well, coming up next in the outdoor season, I know you've got a team meet down in Tempe, Arizona.
We do. We're very excited for this. It's the Pac-12 and Big Ten Challenge. There'll be 8 teams there, also including LSU. So it'll be very exciting.
It'll be one oddball jumping in the meet. After that, I know the schedule kind of gets unique for the track team.
It does. It's really interesting. So Coach Whitmore does a great job on having our athletes compete in the areas that they really need to. And it's very important for my multis to get a very good warm weather meet. So we're heading out to Mount Sac with the multis. And then the rest of the team will be going to Stanford later that week. So I'll actually coach the multis, send them home, and then catch a flight up to meet the rest of the team to coach my jumpers at a team meet at Stanford.
You need a flow chart to follow the schedule, but it's going to be great. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Good luck to see you, assistant track coach Lindsay Malone of the Buffaloes this weekend down at Tempe, Arizona, the Pac-12 Big Ten get-together for track and field. And that puts a wrap on the Buffs Insider this week. I'm Voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you next week on The Insider.